You're listening to CITR News Live, bringing you live interviews with local activists, politicians, policy experts from Vancouver and the Lower Mainland. I'm Armand Rana.
And I'm Isa Yu. It is Saturday, March 7th at 12:09 p.m. We are broadcasting from UBC's Vancouver campus on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
We're also streaming live to our Facebook page, and you can at CITR News, and you can also find us on Instagram, on Twitter, at CITR News.
Yeah. So on today's show, we are going to be unpacking the recent motion by Councillor Jean Swanson declaring a homeless emergency, making an emergency plan to drastically reduce homelessness.
So joining us in studio today, we have two activists from the Social Justice Center here at UBC, Miriam Abdelaziz and Gabby Dobaly. So thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today. So,
hi. So thank you for coming. And to start off, could you guys introduce yourselves and tell us what kind of work the Social Justice Center is involved in?
Hi, so my name's Gabby. I'm a fifth-year student here. I'm a first-generation settler on unceded Musqueam territories, and I'm studying human geography and environmental science. Did you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hello, my name's Mariam. I am a first-year international student. I'm from Egypt. I got involved in the Social Justice Center last semester, and the reason I did that was because it was really important for me to find social justice groups on campus, because back home we couldn't really, like, legally organize, and so a lot of the time you just, like, get caught up in this negative headspace of, like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on in the world that's awful, but there's not much that you can actually do about it. So coming here and finding the Social Justice Center has been a great change, because it's allowed me to kind of channel that like frustration and energy I have into action, and I think that that's what the Social Justice Center does best. And in terms of, like, how we operate through non-hierarchical structures and consensus-based decision-making. And what that means is that we center those closest to an issue, and we try to avoid replicating, like, hierarchical structures. And again, as someone who was new to the group, I thought that this was amazing, really, because it made me feel very valued regardless of, like, the experience that I had with the group. You just feel very, like, included, and that your voice actually matters.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're also a news collective, so I guess we also are challenging hierarchical concepts in that way.
Just plugging that in there.
So let's take a listen to Jean Swanson, who was motivating her motion on the homelessness crisis here in Vancouver during the debate at City Council on February the 26th. And then I want to get your guys' response.
We have a plan. We can't get used to homelessness. I mean, probably looking around this council table, probably Councillor Boyle has never seen a city that didn't have quite a lot of homelessness. But I have, and probably Councillor Hardwick has, and it's because we didn't always have a lot of homelessness, and it is possible to solve it. And if everybody gets together, we can do it, and we have to keep working on that. And I was encouraged when I saw the Ottawa motion that declared the homeless emergency, and hopefully they'll take it to the FCM. And if we take it to the UBCM and other cities do it, maybe the other levels of government can kind of get a clue of what the cities are experiencing here and what precious human beings who don't have homes are experiencing and what cities and provinces are having to pay for because we have homelessness on the street. And it seems to me like it's just a win-win for everybody.
So, yeah, could you talk a little bit about your response to that and more broadly, like, what the motivation behind this homelessness crisis bill that was introduced.
Yeah, so at the Social Justice Center, we're really trying to orient ourselves in such a way that we're situated in Vancouver on these unceded territories and are able to respond to the crises that folks are facing in the city. So part of what that means for us is orienting our organizing around housing justice. And one of the ways that we've done that is by supporting or trying to hold our city government accountable to the commitments that they've made. And so one of the ways that we're doing that is we organize around motions that are coming to City Hall that are either extremely problematic or are would be really beneficial in the push for housing justice in the city. And so one of the things that we did last week was we saw this motion coming, and we have we're in contact with Jean Swanson, who is this amazing counselor, and we're involved in her election campaign as well to get her into office. And so one of the things that I think is the most inspiring about Jean is that she has been a committed organizer for housing justice and for anti-poverty work in this city for essentially her entire life. And one of the things that I think is most powerful that we've seen in this short clip that she's talked about is she really brings a humanizing element to housing justice in the city and to talking about homelessness. I think that a lot of the times, from what I've seen from political rhetoric, is that there is a lot of stigmatization, or there's a lot of stigma around homelessness and around poverty and a lot of dehumanization of these folks. And just the way that Jean is able to so powerfully capture what is at stake here. This is people's lives. This is people's well-being. And these people should be cared for, and they're being failed by a political system. So I can speak to very briefly, if you'd like, what the motion was calling for. So this was a motion that was brought forward by Jean Swanson and Pete Fry. Jean Swanson, of course, is the councillor from COPE, the Coalition of Progressive Electors, and Pete Fry is the Vancouver Green councillor. And so they were calling for, similar to what Ottawa called for in January. So they passed a homelessness emergency declaration. And so this motion was inspired by that, and also calls on Vancouver to declare, or called on Vancouver to declare a homelessness emergency and to advocate to different levels of government. So to advocate to the province and to the feds to increase funding for this, creating a solution to the homelessness emergency. So some like key parts of the motion are that it would, or it called for increased vacancy, or it called for the implementation of vacancy control, so tying rent to a unit rather than to the tenant, so that landlords don't have an incentive to evict tenants to increase the rent between tenancies, if that makes sense. It also called for increased, or it called for the city to advocate to the province for increased shelter allowance rates. That's another really important thing, is that we've seen rents rising, rents rapidly rising, and the shelter allowance rate. So for folks who are on disability and welfare, that's the kind of allotted amount of money that they're given to spend on housing. That's been stagnant, or it hasn't increased proportional to how much rent has increased. And that's a really big problem. Shelter allowance rate right now, I believe, is $375. And it's you really can't find a room in the city for $375. So they've kind of pushed for the city to lobby for that on the federal and provincial level, and as well to lobby these kind of collective groups of municipalities, so the Federation of Canadian Municipalities and the Union of BC Municipalities, to push for housing justice. And the other really important piece of this motion, I think, is that it would set a tangible target. So they set the target at reducing homelessness by 80% in 3 years. So we currently, the latest homeless count was 2,220-ish people in Vancouver who are homeless, and around over 7,000 people in BC who are homeless. So those are the kind of counts that we're trying to target to reduce hopefully end homelessness eventually. But the target would be reducing homelessness by 80% in 3 years.
On to the next question. So Mayor Kennedy Stewart, along with the NPA councillors, voted to remove the 80% homelessness reduction target. And the Social Justice Center responded in a tweet, quote, "Wasn't Kennedy at Kennedy Stewart's entire election campaign centered on a claim to maintain a progressive majority? Yet time and time again, he has voted with the right. We need a new mayor." And then, end quote. Could you expand on your opposition to Mayor Kennedy Stewart?
Yeah, so that piece of the 80% reduction of homelessness within 3 years was taken out of the motion and was defeated in a 5-4 vote. So Mayor Kennedy Stewart voted with the other NPA councillors. For folks who don't know, the NPA is kind of the right-wing municipal party. The nonpartisan association is what they're called. You know, they're right-wing, but weird name. Yeah. And Kennedy Stewart even tried to rule the motion out of order, which I think is just honestly ridiculous. And he tried to argue that, or he did argue, that it was, quote, too late at night for the city to be talking about homelessness and to be talking about implementing new targets, which is
ridiculous. Wait, what does that mean?
Ridiculous.
What does that mean? Like,
it was like 9:30 or something. And they'd been having their meeting for, I think they start at like 9:30 in the morning. So they'd been having the meeting for 12 hours, which I understand is a long meeting. But he was kind of saying like, oh, you know, we're not in the right headspace to do this. This isn't like the right way to do this, blah, blah. Which is essentially just ridiculous. The some of the other things that folks argued, I was very annoyed this evening. I was watching the live stream. I was very frustrated. But some of the other things that folks argued that I remember are that, you know, we already have a comprehensive plan, which is just ridiculous, again, because we're seeing homelessness rising and increasing year after year. And that's just completely unacceptable in a city that is so wealthy. Homelessness should be unimaginable. It should be unconscionable. And it's especially disappointing from a mayor who campaigned on being the progressive choice. I voted for Kennedy Stewart, I'm embarrassed to say now, because he's proven time and time again that he won't advocate for low-income communities and he won't advocate for marginalized communities. And he's proven that with this vote and in other votes as well. But this is kind of showing that really Kennedy Stewart, and it's less surprising from the other members of or from the other NPA councillors, but Kennedy Stewart has really not acted with the urgency that a homelessness emergency demands. He's not respecting the material implications of homelessness on people's lives that are really damaging their well-being. And he's not acting with political leadership or political courage. And we were really disappointed by that.
So you mentioned, you know, in this homelessness crisis, there's a, well, Gene Swanson mentioned in the clip that there's an opportunity to kind of unlock possible federal funding and provincial funding that by declaring an emergency. Do you see that as you know, as the primary motivation for declaring an emergency, or do you see that as more symbolic, or do you see something that could have eventually some, you know, financial significance as well?
I think you're right. It's an important decision on a few different levels. I think it is a really symbolic gesture in that calling something an emergency includes a call to action. And unfortunately, that call to action was a little bit watered down in the way that this motion was enacted. But I still think that the wording of a homelessness emergency is really important, especially in, well, I think, for me, it's also a really pointed reminder because the way that I'm oriented around, or the way that I've heard discussions of the word emergency, is generally around a climate emergency. And to me, signaling that this is also a homelessness emergency kind of makes me reflect on the ways in which climate change or climate justice and housing justice and racial justice and gender justice are all interrelated, and we can't separate them. So I think it is a really, the language of a homelessness emergency is really important. And hopefully that will also be able to mobilize funds and other more material supports for the homelessness, or for ending homelessness. I think that the language of a homelessness emergency is also really important because it allows us to hold our governments accountable. So, for instance, with this motion, we can say that, hey, Kennedy Stewart, you said that there is a homelessness emergency. Why aren't you acting like there's a homelessness emergency? Why aren't you?
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of the kind of mobilizing the funding, I can't speak to the specifics of that, but I do think that from what I've seen in kind of city organizing and different levels of government is that there's a lot of like the municipal government saying that they have to, that it's not on them and they have to pass the buck to the feds and the province. And there's kind of just like a lot of, there's not a lot of accountability being taken. And so I think that there is space for, all of our governments to be doing more, all of the different levels of government to be doing more on housing justice. And I think that the language of an emergency can help make that happen and help kind of motivate all the different levels of government to tangibly make an impact and take an accountability for the harm that they're enacting by not doing anything.
Okay. So...
switching gears.
Like, yeah, we're switching gears because pivoting, it's in the same line, but we are curious because the American elections have been garnering a lot of attention and surprisingly, a lot of Canadians are getting involved. I myself know people who are heading to the States to canvass for Sanders, and I heard Ishmam is volunteering as well.
Who's a member of your organization.
Yeah. So why do you think young people in Canada are so heavily interested in Sanders and his platform?
I think that for a lot of people, Bernie Sanders has, he's genuinely progressive, not just in the sense of, you know, like Kennedy Stewart saying he's progressive when he's not actually.
Yeah.
And a lot of his, because the U.S. is one of the most powerful countries in the world, their policies, specifically, for example, their foreign policies, they impact a lot of different countries. So if we look at foreign policy, he's a lot more progressive than the other candidates. He's opposed the Iraq war, unlike Biden. He's consistently opposed U.S. coups abroad, like the Venezuelan coup, the Bolivian coup. And he's also been steadfast in opposing sanctions against countries like Iran. As someone who is Middle Eastern, having a president like that in the United States of America who kind of like recognizes people's humanity beyond borders and who wants to like reverse that really dangerous, destructive and imperialistic U.S. foreign policy would be like very, very important and would materially impact people's lives. I think that in social justice groups in Canada specifically as well, there's also this sense of like, I mean, like the United States like of America, they are kind of like our neighbors, and we want our vision of justice isn't, it's not just like about Canada and Vancouver specifically, but it's a global one. So it's beyond borders. And so we care about people in the U.S. and we care about them having things like healthcare. So with Medicare for All and canceling student debt, like no one should really have to worry about medical bills and expenses shouldn't be an obstacle in receiving like healthcare that you need. And there's also the Green New Deal, again, with the climate emergency, that is a global thing. So we need all countries, not just Canada, but all countries to be on board with that. And because he wants to transition to 100% renewable energy, that would be like a very important like global issue. Housing is also relevant. We care about housing here, so we care about housing there as well. Bernie Sanders wants to advocate for social housing, and he wants to impose a national rent control. I think that Bernie's also been really good at like popularizing progressive ideas and getting people more engaged in electoral politics, because I think it can be super alienating for a lot of people, including young people, when they get this sense from a lot of presidential candidates that they don't really care about the issues that they pretend to care about. And with Bernie, you can look at his records like from when he was a teenager and like things he's voted about and the things he's advocated for have always been so consistent. And so I think it's so important to have someone like that, you know, be the president.
So I wanted to follow up a bit on that. How, like, is the Social Justice Center, you know, assisting the Bernie Sanders campaign? Like, what form does that take?
So we currently have people in the U.S. actually canvassing for Bernie, which is really cool. We've had watch parties, and we have also had phone banking and texting for Bernie.
I see. So phone banking is like you're calling up, you know, people in America and trying to convince them. So for example, like, say I was an old person in America, and, you know, you call me up. How would you convince me that, you know, it's important for me to, you know, like, why, like, how would you convince me to vote for Bernie Sanders or to support him?
I think just kind of like touching on the issues I talked about isn't like Bernie really is, it's not even just about Bernie as a person, but it's about a movement. It's about actually caring for people and their livelihoods and how they're leading their life. So if you're an old person, maybe healthcare would be relevant. I try to talk about that, and also just kind of like making connections between like the suffering of one group of people is the suffering of other groups of people, and we should care about people, and Bernie cares about people. So I try to get you to see these connections, I suppose.
Yeah, awesome. So yeah, our that wraps up our relatively short show. Thanks so much for joining us today, Gabby and Miriam. And yeah, that's it. And you can catch the On Point, which is another show by the
On
News.
On the Point, get it right.
On the Point, which is another show by the News Collective, where ICU is runs that show. And every Thursday at 5 p.m. And subscribe or follow, I guess, our Facebook page. For more Saturday live streams, I guess. And yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.